This is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. A Dallas City Council committee this morning will get an update on the city's loose dog problem, and it's promising. Since Dallas Animal Services implemented changes suggested by the Boston Consulting Group 3 months ago, impoundments have increased 33%. There's also been a 193% uptick in citations and an 18% increase in live release of animals through adoptions. Peter Brodsky chairs the Dallas Animal Commission. He told WFAA the long-term goal is to increase the number of spay and neuter efforts in Dallas. A report last year from Boston Consulting Group found nearly 9,000 loose dogs in South Dallas. About 85% of those dogs were not fixed. Building a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border was a signature plank of Donald Trump's presidential campaign. With Inauguration Day a little over a week away, that campaign promise looks more like a reality. That's worried some who live near the Texas-Mexico border, including a state House member and Democrat from the border city of Eagle Pass.
There's familial ties, there's business ties. You know, I tell people that maybe in 1,000 years there won't be a United States or a Mexico or a Texas, and we won't call ourselves Texans or Mexicans or Americans, but we'll just be fronterizos, you know, border people.
Pancho Nevarez represents a large area of West Texas with little border fencing. He says the Rio Grande River provides life for folks on either side.
Even though it's a division, if you will, a river, it really does bind us. Not one community can lay any claim greater to the river than another. I think that's probably true from El Paso all the way to Brownsville, from Ciudad Juarez all the way to Ciudad Matamoros, if you will, on the Mexican side.
We'll have a special report on Trump's proposed border wall today on Texas Standard. It'll cover the logistics of building a wall and what Trump's proposal means for those living and working along the border. Texas Standard begins at 10, just after the BBC News Hour. The New York Times recently reported on an ongoing health problem. People once vigilant about vaccinating their children aren't nearly as careful about protecting themselves as they age, even though some diseases are particularly dangerous for older people. In our series Vital Signs, I talked about this with Dr. Gilberto Salazar, an emergency physician with Parkland Hospital System.
When you normally hear about vaccines, you tend to associate that with children or teens. Why are they important for older people?
Vaccines are really what keeps our immune system rocking and rolling throughout our lives. The older we get, the more susceptible we are to certain infections that, you know, during our younger years, we're probably not going to have any trouble with. But the older we get, especially if we start having other medical problems, then we're really susceptible to some of these infections. So vaccines are a great way to keep us from getting some of these very terrible infections.
Does our immune system weaken as we get older?
It definitely does. And then some of these vaccines that we get during our youth, they no longer provide some immunity to these. Additionally, as I mentioned, with some of the medical problems we get later on in life, it really makes us susceptible to these infections.
So the thought then that, well, I was vaccinated for this as a child, or I've had this already, that doesn't really matter as you get older. You're still susceptible.
That's exactly right. You know, a great example is shingles from the virus that causes chickenpox. The overwhelming majority of folks, you know, in their 50s, 60s, 70s have had chickenpox. As kids, they never received the vaccine. Later on in life, this virus manifests itself as a terrible, very painful condition.
What are some other vaccines that older people should get?
The pneumonia vaccine is very important. There are some very common bacteria that can cause this pneumonia. And so this vaccine really helps the body fight this type of bacteria. Because pneumonia, especially in the elderly, can really get them in quite a bit of trouble. The other one I always counsel my patients on is influenza. Folks think of influenza as a really bad cough, but influenza accounted for almost 250,000 hospitalizations last year.
Is it harder on senior citizens than others?
Especially those with medical problems, those with diabetes, hypertension, history of stroke, respiratory symptoms. Those folks are particularly susceptible. Also, those who take care of children are also at risk. You know, these kiddos are bringing in some of these viruses from school and from their friends. And so our senior citizens who take care of younger children are also susceptible.
Tdap, as I understand it, is important?
That's right.
And what is it?
Most of us receive that tetanus vaccine. Tdap really helps us also tackle diphtheria, which is another type of bacteria that can get us in trouble. Tdap also should cover pertussis. Pertussis is whooping cough. It's pneumonia caused by a bacteria that's very easily immunized against with the pertussis portion of the vaccine. So Tdap really gives us a booster against not just tetanus, but diphtheria as well.
There have been some reports, though, that some senior citizens, for whatever reason, opt not to get these vaccines. Why?
One is there's a myth out there that some of these vaccines make them more sick than they otherwise would. And so some vaccines can be associated with a little bit of fever and body aches afterwards. But the overall benefit is a lot higher than some of these temporary side effects. The other concerns that I hear from patients all the time is, you know, I either can't afford it, or my physician doesn't have them, or I have to do a big copay for some of these vaccines, or a walk-in pharmacy is asking me for all sorts of paperwork. So there are several things that need to be explored by patients whenever they're talking about their vaccinations, including what's it going to cost me? Does my insurance cover it? But mostly it's a matter of doing a little bit of paperwork ahead of time so that you can be healthy in the long run.
Medicare doesn't cover a lot of this?
Medicare should, but depending on your coverage and your plan, you know, your primary care doctor may not be able to be reimbursed for these, so they may send you to a pharmacy to get these done, and then the pharmacy may not stock them, or they may require a copay. So like I said, I think a little bit of paperwork and a phone call to your insurance company to get these items settled before you make a decision is very important.
Dr. Salazar, thank you for being with me.
The pleasure's all mine. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Gilberto Salazar is an emergency medicine physician with Parkland Health System. Forecast mostly cloudy skies, patchy fog, and drizzle, high of 58. It's 38 degrees.